We celebrate St. James the Apostle, traditionally referred to as St. James the Greater, although in Ayala Alabang they call him St. James the Great. If you go to that parish in Alabang, you can see in front of the church a very big outdoor statue of him, a maybe bronze statue, kneeling or on one knee before the statue of Our Lady of the Pillar. That church there built in the Spanish style, and then I think they consciously tried to follow the Spanish tradition of having a plaza in front of the church. There's hundreds of examples of that here in the Philippines, the church and then the big public plaza. Well, in the plaza, that's where that big statue of St. James is. And St. James is, after all, one of the patrons of Spain, so the Spanish tradition honors him. Now, to think a little bit about St. James, maybe we can start with a couple of current events. Today, the president of the Philippines will make his first State of the Nation address. I'm told it takes place this afternoon at the joint session of Congress. I don't know what he's going to say, but I can predict that because every president in every country says the same thing. We're going to go forward, we're going to progress, we're going to rise from the difficulties of the past, we're going to be united, and everything's going to be better because I'll be a good leader, and these are my good plans. That's what they always say, and that's what they should say. I'm not even against it. They should say something, the president should say something positive. I hope that he's sincere, and that whatever he says is for the good of the nation. But that's one image on the public stage. I could say civil government, or what Jesus might call the rulers of the Gentiles. The other big public news story or current event that comes to mind is the trip of Pope Francis to Canada. You know, he's in Canada now. And the purpose of his trip is penitential. He's going to apologize to the indigenous peoples for all the offenses committed against them, in some cases, in many cases, by the church herself. And he's going to do it on their own ancestral lands. So it's not going to be a statement of how great we have been. It's going to be a statement of how we have failed, we're sorry, and we commit ourselves to doing better. So again, like the political statement of the president, it will be a message of hope and looking forward, but it will be an acknowledgement of wrongdoing as well. Now, that's what you'd expect the Pope to do, and I'm sure Pope Francis is not only making a statement to the indigenous peoples, but he's also making a statement to the church and to the world that this is how to treat people on the margins of society. You treat them with respect, you treat them with dignity. If you wrong them, you apologize, and you do better. So that's a message of the gospel to the world. Now, I just mentioned these two current events because they seem to be, at least on the surface, the contrast between what Jesus calls the way of the Gentiles, or the way of the rulers among the Gentiles, and the way of Christianity. Because it comes naturally to politicians and world leaders to rise up and show how they're going to lead everyone into a better world. And in the meantime, usually advancing their own agenda and gaining their own advantages. The Christian idea of leadership is service. And Jesus is very explicit about this. The great ones in the world make their authority over them felt. It shall not be so among you. Even if you are a world leader, a servant, I mean a public figure, you shall show your greatness by being a servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. And the example Jesus gives is himself. There's no one greater than Jesus Christ, and there's no one who lowers himself further than Jesus Christ. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay, now this gospel is chosen for the feast of St. James. St. James, who we know, starts out with his brother John with this worldly ambition. He wants to rise up in earthly greatness. They want to sit at the right and at the left of Jesus when he comes into his kingdom. In other words, they want a place in the sun. They want a place in glory. That's a natural human desire, and it's not completely wrong because God himself wants us to reign in glory. But the way there is the challenge. How do we rise to a place of glory? The way, revealed by Jesus Christ himself, the way to go up is to go down. The way to greatness is service. James, who, like all the apostles, didn't know this at the beginning, was trying to achieve greatness by rising up. James and John, their mother, and then the other 10 apostles have the exact same attitude. And when they see James and John rising up, they get indignant because they want to rise up. That's why Jesus says, you have it all wrong. You're doing it in the worldly way. That will not work in the kingdom of God. James and all the apostles have to learn this way of humility, of humble service, of descent, of emptying oneself. We know that James does learn this because within a few short years, he lays down his life. He's the first of the apostles to be martyred. The beautiful thing about that is that his martyrdom is actually the fulfillment of his own request to Jesus. Can you drink the chalice I'm going to drink? And they say, yes, we can. And he says, and Jesus says, okay, you will drink my chalice. And that's what James does when he offers his life in martyrdom. He drinks the chalice of the Lord. He shares in the suffering of the Lord, in the sacrifice of the Lord. And that reveals James' greatness. Now, all of us are in training. We're learning this way, and it's necessary for us to recognize that natural tendency to do it the human way, the earthly way. Because if we don't recognize that dynamic in us, it's going to take over. We'll always be rising up. The first reading describes us as earthen vessels. We're all earthen vessels. But we hold this treasure of the gospel, this treasure of the truth about how to come into glory. St. Paul says, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. To make it clear that if we're glorified, it's because God glorifies us, not because we glorify ourselves. Paul, in the first reading here, speaks about his own journey. He's perplexed, he's persecuted, struck down, carrying about in his body the dying of Jesus, constantly being given up to death. You can see what he's describing there. Humble, obedient unto death, the death of the cross. That's the path of Jesus. Paul says, this is the way I'm going. I'm persecuted, I'm struck down, and I'm carrying about in my body the dying of Jesus. The fruit of it is, I'm not defeated, I'm not destroyed, I'm not dying, I'm actually full of life. And this is the way. Death is at work in us, but a greater life is at work in us for you. This is the whole dynamic that this feast day celebrates. The way to glory is through humble service, sacrifice. I'd like to connect this just briefly with the lesson of yesterday. Remember yesterday the apostles asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Maybe they thought he would teach them some prayers, but to learn to pray is more than just to learn prayers. It's to be formed. To learn to pray is to learn to love. To learn to love is to learn sacrifice. To learn love and sacrifice is to learn how to be like Jesus. So the request, teach us to pray, becomes an opening to a whole process of formation. Yesterday we had the example of Abraham, who prays for the evil cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, praying that the guilty will be saved because of the innocent, that the innocent will be enough to outweigh the guilt of the wicked. The reason this comes to mind is because one of the stories about James, today's saint, James and John, is, remember when the apostles were sent into a Samaritan town and the Samaritans rejected them? The reaction of James and John was, Lord, can we call down fire from heaven to destroy that town? You see, that was their natural reaction. That was the earthen vessel speaking. And Peter, Jesus just rebukes them, says, you're way off track. Notice the difference between that reaction of James and John and the behavior of Abraham. James and John say, well, here's an evil city, let's destroy it. Let's pray that it be destroyed. Abraham says, okay, here's two evil cities, let's pray that they be saved. See, exactly the opposite. Which one of those corresponds to the desire of God's heart? Clearly, salvation even of the most wicked. This is the training program that the apostles had to go through. They had to be trained or transformed from having this desire to destroy the wicked and to rise up in glory, transferred all the way to the point of saying, I will be the one to lay down my life so that others will be saved, so that others will be raised up in glory, even though they're sinners. You see what a complete transformation has to take place. And that's what we celebrate in James and in all the apostles and in anyone who successfully perseveres in following Jesus Christ. This transformation takes place. If we pray, if we follow, if we listen and put into practice, if we love. This is what happens in us. God is teaching us not to be like rulers among the Gentiles, but to be like himself, the Son of Man, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. We who are his followers are called not to be served, but to serve and to give our lives. And when we do this, not only does it bear great fruit for the kingdom, but we ourselves are raised up in glory. So that's what we ask St. James to show us and to pray will happen in us and in the church.